Hey, today's the first of a month. I think that's special. Some of you tithe the first of the month because you get a monthly pay or whatever that looks like for you. And I just think there's a power of the first, to come on the first day of the week and to set it aside for the Lord, to give the first of our fruits. The Bible talks about the first of our income unto the Lord. And I just want to thank you once again for being a generous church. And if you brought your tithe today for the month or whatever that looks like for you, or maybe you do that weekly, I just want to say thank you for your generosity. Last week, we just took up a kind of a random cash offering to help with Chi Alpha at IU campus, and about $2,700 in cash came in last week. Yeah, come on, make some bigger noise than that. That's amazing. So that's fantastic. Hey, today we're picking up where we left off in the book of James. I've heard a lot of good comments about studying in this series. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. So go ahead and turn to the book of James, the writings of James, the apostle in your New Testament. We're going to study this kind of verse by verse, just looking at the themes that James has to teach us. And really, I feel like, as I said on the very first week, this series, this book of James, is something that the world needs now. We need Christians who will do what James is talking about. And today we're going to look at favoritism and what James has to say about that in the power of the word, that God, does he have favorites? Have you ever wondered that? Does God have favorites? And when I was thinking about this and looking at this text, and I was thinking about a story in the Old Testament. Some of you know this story, a lot of you would. The man named Joseph, he was a young man, and the problem he had is he was the favorite child. How many believe you were? Huh? You were the favorite child. And here's the problem, because I know in Rochelle's family, all three of those kids and that her two brothers, they all think they're the favorite, okay? And but the problem with Joseph in the Old Testament, it was obvious he was the favorite. You remember that? He got a special coat and different things that came his way because he was the obvious favorite. And it wrought havoc on the family. How many remember that? It wasn't a good thing. And so division is a problem. And division in our culture is a problem. There are things that cause division. You know, that some people get divided over political stances, and some people get divided over, you know, I think the rapture is going to happen here, and other people say, no, it's going to happen here, and some people say, I don't think it's going to happen at all. I think we're just going to take over the world, and Jesus is going to come back. So there's all these different viewpoints and all these things that people get divided over. How many have seen that? Yes. Division that happens. And in a divided nation, we need a united church. Can I get a good amen? Right? And here's why the enemy loves division. Now, why does the enemy, why would the devil love division? Because it reduces our power and effectiveness. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of it. If two of you will agree together as touching anything, it will happen. There's power in agreement. There's power when people align themselves. You know how a job can be made easier when someone else comes along and gives their strength. And the enemy knows that there is there's something to unity, so I'm going to cause division. And it's like the scripture that talks about the little foxes. You know, sometimes it's just the little things, right? How many of you, you're the reason why you're divorced today maybe is it started with a little thing. You know, it just wasn't a big thing, but then that just kept going, and then it led to something else, and then it led to something else. And the enemy loves to put the little foxes in and to allow things to come that drive us apart. Gossip, pride, favoritism. And James is going to talk about these enemies of unity and how we need to fight for it. So I want to start off, before we hop into James chapter 2, if you want to go ahead and get there, I want to read a couple other scriptures just to set the context for today. Ephesians chapter 4, here's what Paul said about this. He said, "You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly." And here's why. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all. Is anybody seeing the theme here? And is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. It's oneness. And then in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, here's what Paul also writes about this. He says, "For God does not show favoritism." He does not show favoritism. So even though Joseph's father showed favoritism, our heavenly father doesn't operate the same. But I'm going to put a twist to this message at the end. And so I want you to stay tuned. Don't check out, all right, if you're online. And don't check out if you're here in the room today, because maybe the end of this message will be the most important part for you. But we've seen this. Have you seen it in a home or maybe in a business where there was a clear favorite employee or there was a clear favorite child? There was a clear favorite person. And what happened is division comes in, and you can see this in churches. Most churches, by the way, don't fall apart because they just run out of money. You know, many churches, the reason why they disintegrate and they're not effective anymore is this right here. It's division. And again, the enemy knows this. And so James says, "I want to speak right to this," because I hope you're catching on that James goes for the jugular, right? I mean, he just is all up in your face. How many got some friends like that? It's like, you don't have to question how they feel, you know, do they like my outfit or not, you know, do they think my new hairstyle's okay or not? I mean, they will flat out tell you, right? And James is that kind of person, and so he just comes right into this problem of partiality in James chapter 2. So you should be there by now. So let's read it together. Here's what it says in verse 1. "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism." You just can't do it. "Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and then a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention," notice that, "to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Hey, here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'Well, you stand over there,' or 'How about you sit on the floor by my feet?' Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Oh, you're going to get all up in it today, all right? The problem of partiality, here's the first thing James is going to talk about, is it affects what you see. When you have partiality, it affects how you see things. You see race, or you see religion, or you see riches. I've talked to people before, and doctrinally, you know, you meet them, they know you're a Christian, you know they're a Christian, but they want to know, what kind are you? Anybody ever met somebody like that? Like, are you my kind? You know, the kind that feels this way about the Bible? Because I just need to know if we can fellowship or not. I just need to know if we can be close or not. I need to know where you come from. And James says it produces faulty vision to us because you go around and, you know, we all work like this. You look around. Maybe you did this morning when you came to church. Maybe you've never been here before and you're like, are these my people? Are these my people? And here's what we want to know. Is there somebody that looks like me? Because if they look like me, then I'm okay. I'm okay with this. But we get uncomfortable sometimes when people aren't the same way we are. And we can show favoritism, he says, towards someone who's dressed up. And then in the next few verses, it's funny because he says, those rich people, they're the ones that give you all the trouble. How many know that? The money goes to their head, right? You know, and then they want to sue you, or they want to, you know, they want to boss you, or they want to, you know, whatever. And a lot of times they don't want to go along with it. That I've got money, I can do my own thing. And all. And James says, here's what we need to do. We need to just get rid of the filter. Get rid of that filter that causes you to look around and judge people by their appearance. Judge people by how they look. And it's so funny because James is the brother of Jesus. Remember that. He's the other son of Mary. After Mary and Joseph came together, she had more children, the Bible teaches us. And one of those brothers or half-brothers of Jesus was James. And he didn't become a believer until he saw Jesus rise from the dead. And then he said, yep, my brother is the Son of God. My brother is the Son of God. It's one of the most astounding evidence of the resurrection. Is that James is a believer. And so James is pulling from the life of Jesus. I feel like he watched as Jesus, they said, don't eat lunch with those sinners. You shouldn't even step inside their house because they've got cooties. And you'll get their cooties on you. And we're out here and we're the holy crowd. And we're not going to go in there because we're not going to get those sinful cooties on us. And Jesus says, I'll come to your house for lunch. You're a tax collector. You're whatever. And Jesus just blew everybody away. Then one day he meets with a woman in public. And you just don't do that. What kind of rabbi are you anyway? Do you not have any sense? Do you not know women do not count? That's how they felt. You shouldn't even waste your time talking to women. What kind of spiritual leader could you be if you're trying to empower women? And Jesus is like, whatever. She needs me. And he spent some time talking at a well to a woman who became an evangelist and went back and won her whole city to Jesus. Come on now. He just erased every line. People would draw a line saying, no, don't cross that line. And he just erased it. And I believe today he wants to erase your lines. I believe today he wants to remove your filter. And you would think that 12 guys who spent 3+ years with him would get this right, wouldn't you? Because you would, right? After 3 years. But let's read in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Here's what happened. Peter was told by the Lord through a dream, a vision, hey, you need to go to this sinner's house and you need to pray with them to receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter was like, well, they're unclean. And so the Lord said, don't call unclean what I've made clean. And here's what he says in verse 34. Then Peter began to speak once he got to that house and he saw the Lord move by the power of his Holy Spirit on these people that he didn't think he could move in. He says, I now realize, well, it's about time, huh? I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. He says, today my eyes got open. Before this, I kind of had a filter over my eyes, and I thought, well, we're the special people, and they're not, and I thought God favored us more than them, and I thought God would use us more than them, and so I didn't think this was any big deal, and we'll just stay in our camp. They can stay in their camp, but today, the filter got removed. Today, God showed me that I need to remove that filter. I need to erase the lines in my life. And maybe today, that's you. Maybe today, that's you. So to illustrate this, I brought a couple things. How many, you're going to buy the labeled stuff, huh? How many, you're just not going to buy the off-brand. Because, you know, who knows about that? And so, here's what, I had somebody do some research for me, and, you know, this one's like a name brand, this one's a store brand, and they look different, they're shaped different and all, but they told me they're manufactured in the same place. In other words, they make all this ketchup. And some of it they squirt in this bottle, and some of it they squirt into this bottle. And so when you're looking at it, you think, well, I don't like that shape. I'm not prone to that shape. I don't like that. They've got a long neck, you know, and a wide bottom. Did I just say that? And this one's just, you know, it's just easier to fit in my hand, I think. And I like that colorful label that they wear. I like the color. I'm just drawn to that. And so I think this is my favorite. And then what we don't realize is they have the same thing on the inside. And they were made by the same people. Are you listening to me? There are people that you might say, I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they are. I don't like this about them. I don't like that about them. But I want you to know, we all came from the same manufacturer. We all have the same on the inside, black and yellow, red and white, whatever. We're precious in His sight, right? All of that. And so when we look at people, we need to see what's on the inside instead of what's on the outside. And they're all made in the image of God. 1 Samuel, verse 16, verse 7. chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." This is when they were going to pick a new king. "The Lord does not look at things that people look at." Did you get that? "The Lord does not look at things that you look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." He sees what's on the inside. Are you looking at someone's possessions, or are you looking at the person? Are you looking at the external, or are you looking at the internal? And listen, this is easier to talk about than it is to practice in a world, in a culture that's a cancel culture, a social media-driven culture where you know, we love Instagram, we love pictures. And we just say, "I think I like that guy. I think I like her. I think I want," you know, it's frivolous stuff. People can even pick a president over appearance. You know, the world judges, and James says, you don't do that. And then James goes on. Let's move on. Because he says, it doesn't just affect your eyes. It's bad enough that it affects your eyes and you see people differently. You see rich people one way and poor people another way. And, you know, people of different color and people of different faith backgrounds and things like that. That's bad enough. But then it also affects what you say. It affects how you speak. How we see people affects what we say to them, right? Because if you already know, "I don't like this guy," you're going to be pretty short, right? If you already know, "Hey, I'm bothered by this person," then you're going to be pretty short with them. And James says, I want to speak to that. I want you to get more inclusive and less exclusive. Because my brother, James would say, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I think it is, where it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." All. Somebody say, all means all, right? It means everybody. And yet, we're kind of thrown off sometimes by the appearance of people. I know, think about John the Baptist. Jesus said, you know, he came, and he was kind of a wild guy, and you guys rejected him. And then I come along, and I'm different than him, and you reject me. And I don't know, John the Baptist might have been a little unique. Anybody ever met a John the Baptist? I think I met one not too long ago. Met a guy that is a believer, and he was just kind of watching and listening in and everything. And I'd already been a little tipped off by him, by his family, that, hey, this guy's a little different. Okay? But you know what? He spoke a word to me about a prophetic word that had been uttered in the city of Indianapolis 100 years ago. And I thought, you're the only one who said something like that to me today. And I agree with your family. The bottle is a little different, okay? But I'm just going to receive that word today that you just spoke. In 100 years, he was talking about 100 years from Maria Woodworth Edder, there'd be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit and signs and wonders and miracles. And I said, well, we've been having that and seeing that, and I'm just receiving that. I'm receiving that myself, that's going to happen. Now listen, sometimes what happens is you like a word, but you don't like the package that it got delivered in. And if you're not careful, you can reject the word that God wants to speak to you. Am I talking to somebody today? You can reject the word that God wants to speak to you because you don't personally like the package that it comes in. And God will work through things. I love the Jesus Revolution movie. Did you see that? Yes. It was so cool. Because, you know, it was so, these guys were so unique and so different, and the church didn't know what to do about it. But then once they accepted them, revival happened. The Spirit of God broke out. See, favoritism shrinks the work of God. And the enemy knows this. He knows that if two or three will gather together in his name, God will show up there. That's the reason why some of you, it took all you could do to get in your car today and be here in this place, but God wants to do something great in this place today, and you might have missed it if you hadn't pushed and made it happen. Because there's power in unity. There's power in agreement. So what do we need to do? And here's what James goes on to say. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, verse 8, and here it is. Here's the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. I wonder where he got that. See, the royal law, notice it's the royal law because it came from the king. It's the king's command. It's not the king's suggestion. It's not, if you can get around to it, do this. But it's a command of the king, and if you're a part of the kingdom of God, then this is how you live. You love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you're doing right, he says. But if you show favoritism, tell us what you think, James. You sin. Okay. You sin and are convicted by the law and as lawbreakers. Don't go the world's way. You are in a different kingdom. Everybody wants to get divided. Everybody wants to polarize, especially in a political climate. Everybody wants to polarize. And who are you for? What side are you on? I don't know if I can go to lunch with you or not. I don't know if we can live next door to each other or not. I don't know if our kids can play with each other or not. I just don't know about this, if we can even work together or not. And in a climate like that, you got to say, no, I'm not part of this climate. I'm part of another climate. I'm part of the kingdom of God, and there's a royal law that allows me to love you in spite. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive, and this is pretty powerful stuff. You ready for this? Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you ready for this? All right? Or get ready for this, okay? Because this is Jesus. If you forgive those who sin against you, and this is right after teaching about prayer. We're getting ready for the 21 days of prayer. And after he finishes the Lord's Prayer, he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father, what? Yeah, your Father will not forgive your sins. And he told a story one time about an unmerciful servant that came to his master, and he owed like $20 million. And he said, I can't pay it. Oh, my God, no, no, please. You know, he's crying, begging, and whatever. And the guy says, all right, wipe it out. You don't owe me anything. And Jesus said, and you know what that guy did? He went outside and found somebody owed him $2,000. And he grabbed that guy by the throat. And he says, you pay up right now or I'm going to have you thrown in jail. And the guy's like, please, please, I've got a wife and kids. I can't do it. Give me some time. And he says, no, no more time. And Jesus went on to tell the story that when the master heard how he treated somebody else, he said, hey, guess what? Your debt's back. Your debt's back. You owe everything. And he's illustrating to us just the gravity, the importance of this topic today, that we've got to live without a lens, that we've got to forgive, that we've got to be light travelers in this world. And in James chapter 2, verse 12, here's what James says then about it. He says, speak and act. Here's how to help you to do this, okay? He's going to help us do this. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who's not been merciful, just like Jesus taught. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm telling you, that lifestyle would impact our nation. If we would live like that, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about those who profess Jesus. If we would change how we see and change what we say to others, James says it changed everything. James says, don't do what the world does. The world says, oh, you said that? Canceled. That's what we're going to do to you, because we've never sinned. See, we've never typed something that we shouldn't have typed. We've never done that. We've never acted towards somebody else like we shouldn't act. And you did, so you're canceled. Come on, everybody, pile on. And James says, that's what the world does. But here's what the church does. Mercy finds a way, right? Mercy finds a way. I know what you did, but I'm going to find a way to forgive you anyway. I know that you intended to do that, but I'm going to figure out a way anyway, because he says, guess what? That's what you did to God. You knew what you ought to do, and you did it anyway. You sinned, and God forgave you. And he says, and we're going to stand over judgment by his mercy. We're going to stand one day, and it's going to be like that story where you owed $20 million, only it's even more than that. You deserve hell itself, but God is going to say to you, not guilty, saved by my son, come on into my kingdom and spend the rest of eternity with me. If you're excited about that, give God a little bit of praise for it. Mercy for all. That's what he offers. That's what's awesome. And he's offering it to you today. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he offers mercy. And here's the last thing, is it affects our experience with God. And I want to read a psalm about this, because way back, the psalmist wrote about the power of unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's good. It's pleasant when people get along. Can I get a good amen, right? And you're just on the road trip. If the four of us, the five of us, whatever it is, could get along in the car, you know, how pleasant and good it is. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's like anointing, he says. This is before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church. He says it's like anointing that comes down. And it's as if dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there, everybody say there, the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. I need four volunteers. Four of you. Just come up here. Okay, that's three. We need one more, all right? All right, just stand in a row. Just stand in a row right here. That's good. That's good. You guys are good at this, all right? So here's what he says. He says, wherever there's unity, the Lord commands his blessing. wherever there's unity. So here's what it's like. See, God doesn't have favorites, but I want to say it like this. He does give favor. He gives favor. See, you can't control the favoritism because God has no favorites. He'll use people that you don't want him to use. Right? You're like, how's that guy get used? How's she do that, you know? And God will just pick people that we wouldn't pick because he looks at the heart. And then here's the part you can control is the favor of the Lord. So let's just say these guys live all next door to each other, okay? And these two love to talk about other people, okay? They just love, go ahead and kind of whisper some stuff to each other. Just, you know, they just love to, you know, my church, my pastor, my mother, you know, oh, that person that leads that man, oh, you know, I don't know about them and whatever. And they just love to do that. And then this person here doesn't even know the Lord, okay? So they don't even know the Lord. But this person does, living in this house. And all they do is speak good things. They just speak good things. They just go ahead and say something good to this guy. Right? Tell him how good looking he is or whatever. You know, okay? So he just speaking good things. And here's what the Bible says. Here's what the psalmist is saying. The Lord looks over the earth and he says, there I can bless. Do you see that? He says, I'm going to command my blessing there. And so when you think about, I wonder why we're not getting that prayer answered. I wonder why that it seems like we're not seeing things like other people see. I just wonder what's going on. And you're talking about that. This might be it. Because it's there he commands his blessing. It's like the Lord looks out and he says, oh, okay, let me look at that neighborhood. There, that house, that family, that person, I'm going to command my blessing. And he said, it's like oil pouring down. It's like the anointing. It's like the power of the Holy Spirit all over their life. Somebody make some noise today and thank these guys. Thank you, guys. So the Holy Spirit is allergic to division. Did you hear that? Strife, negativity, things like that. One more illustration, and then I'm going to let you go. Anybody ever hear Barbershop Quartet? So it's kind of like this. Put that picture up for me so they know what I'm talking about. There's a phenomenon. I researched this week. There's a phenomenon with Barbershop Quartet, and here's what it is. They say that when the four voices blend together so closely, so like spot on, that a phenomenon happens like there's a fifth voice that's there. It's uncanny. They said, and then they look and they're one, two, three, four. No, there's four there. But I hear a fifth voice. Where's that fifth voice coming from? And all that they can explain is that when the unity gets so close, when the harmonies come so tight and so close, it's so powerful, it's so enriching that it's like there's a fifth voice that's singing. And I want to say today that there's a fifth voice that wants to show up in your life. There's a fifth voice that wants to show up in this church. There's a fifth voice that wants to show up in our community, but it only happens as we come together in unity, as we come together and we get unified together, then it happens. On the day of Pentecost, look at it, when they were in one accord, that wasn't a Honda, okay? Preacher joke, okay? They were in one accord. That oil poured out. And this week, what might happen at your house? What might happen in your life? What if the Lord looked around and said, oh, I couldn't bless them last week, but look at them talking this week. Look at them looking around and seeing everybody equal. Look at them looking around and not judging other people. Oh, I can command my blessing there. Let's pray. Father, help us today to put this into practice, because it's a lot easier to talk about than it is to do. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, I've got an area where I can get a little judgy. There's an area of my life where I can get judgy like the world does. I can show a little favoritism, maybe it is. But today, I want to be like Jesus. And when it comes to judgment, and I'm going to be judged like I judge others, I want there to be plenty of mercy for me. So I want to show other people the mercy that I've been shown. And I want his favor on my house. I want his favor on my life. I want that anointing upon me. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hand all over this room? Yeah, just raise it up and say, yes, God, I want my house, my family to receive your favor. Father, today, remove any dissension, any disunity, any evil talk, any gossipy tongue, anything that could be holding back the anointing, anything that could be preventing us from being the person that receives that anointing oil. And God, may we be more like you and obey that royal law to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. To be like you to the world, so the world will want what we have instead of what they have. While we're still praying, you may be here today and you may feel far from God. I want you to know that can be remedied today, because God has so much mercy. So much mercy, more mercy than you have sin, more mercy than you have mistakes. God can, through his mercy, cover you today, forgive you. And just like Jesus sat and had lunch with different people, I believe he wants to come into your life today. He wants to come in the door if you'll just open it right now. And he's going to come with his grace and his mercy and wash away every sin. If you want that today, would you just raise a hand all over this room and say, yeah, I need God's mercy in my life personally. I need it in my life. And while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat, and we're going to be praying for you as well. But let's all pray this prayer so that those around us who need God's mercy will cry out to it. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to demonstrate your mercy, to demonstrate your love. Today I receive that mercy. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. Wash over me. Forgive me of all my past and give me a new start today. as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that declaration today. It's awesome. Oh, come on, let's stand together. If you made a decision for the Lord today, there's a next word that you can text from the screens and take that next step, whatever it is today. Or if you're in person, you can just go across the hall and someone will be glad to talk to you about next steps. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come down at this time. If you have a prayer need or concern in your life and you just say, hey, there's somebody, maybe it's, I have a hard time forgiving my brother or my sister, or my parents or whatever, and you just need prayer for that today. I don't know what it looks like. Maybe you've got a situation just seems so difficult, so challenging. These folks would love to pray with you and pray for you. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Even though it's hard, even though it's challenging, you give us the power to be able to do it. And so, God, would you empower your church today so that we would be different from the world that surrounds us, that in a cancel culture, we would be a mercy people, that we would show forth your grace, your goodness, so that others will be drawn to you. Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here to the altar to receive the prayer that they need today. And God, we thank you and praise you for it all in Jesus' name.